Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 23, Sensitivity, Specificity, and Predictive Values of Medical Tests. If you find this podcast helpful, please tell a friend or colleague about it, or send them the link to the show notes for this episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode23. As usual, I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes. In this episode, I'll give you real-world patient care examples of how to remember and apply the concepts of sensitivity, specificity, and predictive value as they relate to medical tests. I struggled with remembering these concepts for a long time. Then I learned about the mnemonics, spins and snouts, which really helped me. Here is what they mean. Spins is for specificity. If a test is highly specific, a positive value rules in the syndrome. Snouts is for sensitivity. If a test is highly sensitive, a negative value rules out the syndrome. Two examples to help remember sensitivity and specificity are troponin for detecting acute myocardial infarction and D-dimer for detecting pulmonary embolism. So for troponin, in a patient with chest pain or ECG changes, an elevated troponin is highly specific for ruling in an MI. If the patient has crushing chest pain or ECG changes and a negative troponin, this is not enough to rule out an MI. This is because a single troponin has a low sensitivity and cannot be used to rule out an MI in the presence of symptoms. It may take 2 to 4 hours from the onset of the MI for the troponin to become elevated, and so the patient is always kept under observation and serial troponin levels are checked several hours apart. For D-dimer, an elevated D-dimer cannot be used alone to diagnose pulmonary embolism. The D-dimer is a measure of fibrin degradation products, and an elevated level only indicates an abnormal amount of fibrin degradation is occurring somewhere. This could be from pregnancy, stroke, MI, PE, heart failure, surgery, sepsis, malignancy, several other causes of elevated D-dimer levels. However, in a patient with a low likelihood of having a PE, a normal D-dimer level has high sensitivity and can be used to rule out a PE. This is because the D-dimer is telling us that there is not an abnormal amount of fibrin degradation occurring. Now let's talk about predictive values and the influence of disease prevalence on the predictive value of a test. Determining the usefulness of a test does not stop with specificity and sensitivity. Predictive values must also be considered. The positive predictive value of a test describes the likelihood of the patient actually having the disease given a positive result. A negative predictive value of a test describes the likelihood of the patient not having the disease given a negative test result. The prevalence of the disease in the population tested has a tremendous influence on the predictive value of any given test. Heparin-induced thrombocytopenia 4T scores and nasal MRSA screens are two examples to help remember this. I'll explain. With 4T scores, the 4T scoring system for HIT involves checking the degree of thrombocytopenia, timing of the platelet drop, findings of new thrombosis, and presence of other causes of thrombocytopenia. Depending on the score, the patient may be judged to be at a low, medium, or high risk of having HIT. Further testing is of no value in a patient with low likelihood of HIT based on a low 4T score, but it is of high value if the patient has a high 4T score. The purpose of applying the 4T scoring system before ordering further testing is to determine whether the patient is representative of a population with a low or high prevalence for HIT. The next test, platelet factor 4 antibody, has a much higher positive predictive value if it is used in patients with a high risk of HIT. But the test has a poor positive predictive value if it is used in a population with a low risk of HIT. And that is why the 4T score should be applied before or deciding to order the next test, the platelet factor 4 antibody. For nasal MRSA screens, when is it okay to use a negative nasal MRSA screen to discontinue MRSA coverage in a patient with pneumonia? Well, it depends on the negative predicted value of this test, which in turn depends on the prevalence of MRSA pneumonia in the population the test is running. Patients without gram-positive cocci in their sputum cultures have a low risk of having MRSA pneumonia, but patients with gram-positive cocci in their sputum culture have a higher risk of it being MRSA. Therefore, a negative nasal MRSA screen can only be used to support stopping MRSA antibiotic coverage if the sputum culture is also negative. The negative predictive value of the nasal screen is 99.2% when it's used in patients who also have negative sputum cultures. How do you use sensitivity, specificity, and predictive values in your practice? Do you have a different way to explain it? I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com. Remember, you can share the show notes for this episode by going to pharmacyjoe.com/episode23. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.